Hello, this is Vasant from All Out for No Loss, and I have with me the usual crew. Today, we will be talking about the final of the Champions Trophy and how India regained the Champions Trophy after a gap of 12 years. A pretty good game for a final. There were points at which it looked like New Zealand might just be able to pull it off early in the game and somewhere during the middle of the India batting. Otherwise, for most part, India seemed to be running the shop pretty efficiently, once again indebted to their four wonderful spinners who between them stifled the New Zealand middle order. And it really was only at the end when Michael Bracewell took on Mohammad Shami that they managed to get to 250. India started off with Rohit Sharma turning his jets on, and then the fall of Gill, thanks once again to Superman Phillips, the New Zealanders managed to claw their way back into the game. And then it was a grind. And every time it looked like India was running away with the game, a wicket would fall. But towards the end, the depth of the Indian batting helped India get through relatively comfortably if one were to look at the final scorecard. Your thoughts on the game, Anand?
Yeah, when I look back, I think when India plays, the Indian fans, we always think that this team is no good, or we look for things that worry us. It's all on us. If Rohit and Virat are over the hill and so on. But when you zoom out and then listen to other people explain what this team is, the top four is to die for. The top four, we couldn't find a place for Jaiswal, who's probably the best batter of 2024 by a mile in India, right? And we couldn't fit him there. And then we have three all-rounders who would walk into any team. Jaiswal would walk into any team. We had Rishabh Pant sitting in the bench who would walk into any team. And then we had three world-class spinners. And then we realized that we had one more who we hadn't introduced in the case of Varun. And the bowler who did not bowl well in the finals actually ended the tournament with 9 wickets, only one below Matt Henry, which is, I'm talking about Shami. Shami had a very good tournament. There is absolutely no weak link in this team, and they performed very well. Some people thought that it was close. There were wickets, but when you have Jadeja coming in at 8, it's kind of unfair. This Champions Trophy, as much as it belonged to Rohit and Virat in those games where they shine, it truly belonged to KL Rahul and Varun Chakravarti and Shreyas Iyer and even Akshar with the bat and the ball, right? They all pitched in at all times. So I think now I can look back and say it went to plan, but it's very hard to stop this team, particularly in Dubai. That's how I feel.
To me, I think big decision was that they decided to sit Jaiswal out and accommodate Varun in his place instead. Now, this is a literal U-turn from where they were at the first bilateral game with England, because over there, they were desperate to somehow make sure that Yashasvi Jaiswal was in the playing 11. They went as far as to decide to drop Shreyas Iyer to make that happen. It was 40 to us or whatever other reason. Or maybe it was one of those, hey, dear, we hurt your leg. You know, one of those, are you telling me or are you asking that story, right? But I don't know, be that as it may, that whole Virat Kohli thing didn't happen. Iyer got his turn, and then he has not since looked back. The 5 games, whatever number of games we played in the one-day bilateral, and literally every game, he did not fail in a single one, actually. So I think that was one thing I wanted to kind of point out. And kudos to the leadership or the think tank or whoever came up with this decision, because clearly they were in the state of mind going into the England series, and they were willing to take a complete U-turn, dump Jaiswal, and recruit Varun. I think so. That was thing one. Even at that time, even if you remember, Ashwin's podcast basically said, 5 spinners, I don't get it. And I'm like, yeah, dude, like Ashwin doesn't get it. How do you expect people like us to get it? And that's kind of where we were at that point. And then out of the blue, suddenly we are told they're going to play 4 spinners in one of these games. The conventional thinking would have been to sit Kuldeep out and play Varun Chakravarti. Stick with that Harshit Rana option or the Arshdeep Singh option or whatever that other option was. The beauty of it was really completely about squad selection for me. I also feel, again, you can say that this is all about hindsight again. I think that's what New Zealand lacked in the final and why the game ended up the way it did. Because I'm imagining a scenario if instead of Nathan Smith, New Zealand had decided to play Ish Sodhi instead. Would that have made the game a little more even? Who knows? So they would have also had like a coterie of really smart spinners available at that time, right? At the end of the day, both Bracewell bowled really well, but he's still a part-timer. Phillips also bowled really well, also a part-timer. Ravindra also a part-timer. And I think perhaps that's kind of what made the difference. And I say this purely with the benefit of hindsight.
Sir at five worked out. And
another brilliant move.
I think Axar at five is what makes allows you to play Varun, right? Mm-hmm. They are pretty much playing Axar as a batter, right? They're playing Axar. They picked Axar over Pant to play at five. That was the other choice, right? That's but Axar, you know, truly, truly remarkable.
Actually, you make a really good point, Anand. This bears repeating, right? It was an Axar versus Pant selection. It was not a KL versus Pant selection. KL was walking in, no question asked.
So I called it, right? So there was very little doubt in my mind that India would be challenged in the finals. But still, New Zealand, again, winning the toss probably didn't work in their favor. India would have, I think, still chosen to chase. But they probably had the dilemma whether to bat first, bowl first. Their hand was forced a little bit by the, 15th loss for India and 12th for Rohit Sharma toss. It's a dubious record. Then I think it was like, you guys all spoke about the spinners. I agree completely. That is really the winning hand, all four jacks. You can see the stark difference in the scorecard, right? They were scoring at something like 8-9 runs an over before spin came on. And then when, by the time it was a 40-some over, they had been reduced to 4 runs an over. And then they, again, Bracewell took on Shami in the end and scored a few more to get them past 250 barely. So it was really those four guys, like 40 overs between them, that really sealed the deal for India. The chase, Rohit Sharma did his part, gave them a flyer. And after that, it was just no matter how many wickets they kept picking back and everybody got a start. And I think all tournament, we went past Jadeja in the batting only once. That was against New Zealand in the last game of the league phase. So it was like no-brainer. Even when we saw Axar Patel get out, going for one shot, 2 minutes at the wrong time, still we had like Pandya coming in and belting it right over the bowler's head, and you still had Jadeja come in, and KL Rahul played his role to perfection in every game he went and just held up on the end of victory was in sight. So this is as clinical as it gets. To me, Shami seemed to be the, it's the same things to say, but the weak link for me in the whole lineup.
Off color.
Yeah, off color a little bit. And all 5 wickets out of all the wickets he took came off one game.
That's it. We need to talk about Varun Chakravarti. Incredible bowling. Constantly challenged the batsman. If you saw the number of balls that were hitting the stumps, and that makes a huge difference. This guy is a smart, smart cricketer. His changes of pace, his changes of length, he left most of his opponents quite bemused. I do suspect that he would have run riot against the Bangladeshis, but I'm not so sure about Pakistan because they might have played him. At least they did play him. Funnily enough, there is a meme from some Pakistani fan saying this: all of Pakistan's white ball wars are because of Arun Chakravarti. He pulled Pakistan's cricket back by 4 years because he couldn't get them out in Dubai in 2021. Everybody thought that Rizwan Babar were the next thing, the next best thing to
say. It was a long con.
Yeah. You learn about it 4 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah, to put things in perspective, apparently he started playing cricket. One of those interviews he gave to one of the Tamil actors, he said he started playing cricket when he was 27. I've heard different ages, but from the horse's mouth, he started playing cricket when he was 27. He's a trained architect who worked as an architect, and then something happened. He had to go find another job. So he tried his hand in the movies for a little bit. That's where he ended up in that movie that is going around now, the Tamil movie Jeeva, where he played a bit role. And then he tried to become a director or whatever, and none of it worked. So he said, I'm going to play for fun. It can only happen in Chennai. He said he could earn a living playing cricket because he was good enough playing the league. So people started paying him to play the games. And then he was spotted initially in TNPL by a team and then by DK, who was then the KKR captain. And it's truly remarkable, right?
Karaikudi Panthers or something like that. Karaikudi Kale. That was his team.
So he played TNPL for Karaikudi.
Oh.
Got noticed by DK, who pulled him into IPL. So 27 is when he started as a seamer, and then he started bowling his variety of bowling. 2 years in TNPL.
He made his IPL debut for Punjab Kings under Ashwin. He bowled his first spell. He was hit for 27 runs or 25 runs by Sunil Narayan.
I remember,
And he broke his hand. All that in one match. And then he didn't play for 2 years.
And then he didn't play for 2 years, right? And then he goes to KKR and gets selected for the Indian team. And then the famous Rizwan-Babar match happens in Dubai. And then the reinvention. So his life has been shrunk over a period of 6 years. He's seen everything, which is quite remarkable.
That is remarkable. What a story.
He now plays for Ashwin's team, the Dindigul team.
Oh, he plays for the Dindigul team now. I see. That is the same team that where Ashwin learned to hit sixes. Right, in T20s.
Turns out, Ashwin mentions it in his book, he has been visiting the US for hitting training for a couple of months in the last 3 or 4 years. He's been specifically working on hitting. And apparently he does it in the US. I don't know why. Maybe he's figured out something. But it was a concerted effort from him to become a hitter and eventually becomes the opening batter for DD.
So let me ask you guys a couple of questions that I have in my mind. So two back-to-back wins for Rohit Sharma as captain. Does that make him India's greatest ever white ball captain, or are we still stuck with Dhoni?
I think he is. I think he is the greatest.
Dhoni has that, all three, right? Doesn't Dhoni have all three?
All three. That is true. Dhoni does have all three.
All three meaning the ODI World Cup, T20 World Cup, and the Champions Trophy. Date basically says, we give too much importance to the final games, which you tend to elevate a captain based on the number of cups they win. But if you take the holistic approach and look at what Rohit has done, right, it is quite remarkable.
Yeah, I think his win-loss ratio is definitely better than that of Dhoni's.
I'll tell you where the difference is. Not ODIs, but it's in T20s. The issue is Dhoni had years of some T20 underperformance.
But in Dhoni's defense, Dhoni didn't have... And to bowl for him, right?
Resurgence came under Kohli with Kulcha.
So this is a superior team. I don't think Dhoni ever had a team that was as good as this. He had Kohli at his peak. He had Rohit Sharma at his peak. He had Dhawan at his peak. All of that is fine. But this bowling attack is far.
If Rohit had won the 2023 ODI World Cup Finals, we wouldn't be asking this question, perhaps.
I don't think so. Yeah, that's what I thought.
True.
Dhoni also held the World Test Championship mace. So there was a point where he had all four. We didn't have finals at the time, but we topped the rankings.
That was one question I had. The second question I wanted to ask you guys was, is this literally the best ever one-day side assembled by India?
Well, the 83 team pulled off the miracle.
The 83 team beat this team in England. Rout them.
Probably.
Okay? Because the number of swing bowlers that they had, they will take them down.
Will the 85 team win them in Australia?
I do think that 85 team was even better than the 83 team.
83 team. By the way, I think this team is comparable to the 2015 World Cup team that played in Australia. Remember, we only lost one game in 2015 World Cup.
As well. But that was a semi-final. It wasn't the final game.
But that was that team was not a good team. There was no balance.
There was Mohit Sharma.
We had three quicks. Mohit, Umesh and Shami. None of them were going to bat.
No. That team punched way above it.
That part is true. They punched way above.
Way above it.
Nobody expected them to make the semis. Somehow, Dhoni dragged them into the semi-final.
Way above Rohit Sharma's waist.
That is true. Way above Rohit Sharma's waist. That's how high they punched. I still remember they were just beating everybody for fun. And the only game in which they were challenged before the semifinals was against West Indies. West Indies had 180-something in 50 overs in Perth. And we were 110 for 6. And what did it require? It required two calm heads. One of whom was the captain, the other was the podcaster. And then they won the game for us. So it did punch above their waist, but I don't think they had the balance. I don't think Jadeja was the batter he is now back then. Yeah. And Ashwin certainly was never a great ODI batter.
The team under Dhoni had a lot of escapes, coming from behind escapes. Or maybe it's just nostalgia, because when you think of Dhoni, you think of all the great CSK escapes, right? Starting from the 2010, 4-0 down, that Dharamshala game. Maybe it's overweighing me, but I kind of feel that there are a lot of ODA games under Dhoni where we came from behind and won. Whereas this team, at least, it seems to be coasting. And the one game where they were behind in the finals of the ODA World Cup, they never came back from it.
Even the T20 World Cup against Bangladesh, those things get a lot of reruns on YouTube and Instagram today. That Mushfiqur Rahim's idiotic premature celebration.
By the way, having said that, I just remembered that Rohit was the captain for the Nidahas Trophy. Yeah, he was the captain. Yeah. That was, I think, his first trophy.
Yeah, I think but even the trophy was Nidahas Trophy was peak Nagin.
It's a great question. Is it the greatest? Did you say white ball team or ODI team?
ODI team, not white ball team.
I think if you add Bumrah to it, then this team is comparable to the 83 team or even the 85 team.
Had Bumrah been available, would they have gone in with this four-spinner strategy ever?
That was what I was going to. No, actually, Shami wouldn't have played.
You think? Mm. They would have dropped Shami, you think?
No, it's an absolute fluke that we ended up paying Varun. Like Dinesh Karthik, I think he's right.
I want to give them credit. I think they would have played first.
I think Dinesh Karthik is spot on in saying that had we not already qualified. Okay.
No, think about it. They picked that guy. They picked that guy last
minute. They also picked Washington Sundar. What is he going to do?
That was plan C.
I think Washi is a floater replacement for any of the 11 positions.
Like Aksar.
Right? Oh. He's Aksar minus minus, but that is his role. Like if an opening batter is injured and they need an opener, they'll pick Washi. If a number 9 is injured and they need somebody to bat at night, they'll pick Washi.
So are you saying he's Ravi Shastri of this team?
Probably.
Yeah. Ravi Shastri, like towards the end, couldn't bowl. He was a batter, right?
And he survived purely on the basis of opening the innings.
Yeah, that's all he did.
And he did it well, man. He did it really well.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, he was also part of the 95 team. He was never under any scoreboard pressure because then Matt Fuller, the other side, was just like whacking the ball all over the ground.
Yeah.
85. All this trophy interviews, right? The most honest answer I got was from Rachinna Ravira. Bogle asked him how he's so prolific in ICC tournaments. Like pretty much, I think all his centuries have been in World Cups or Champions Trophy. The guy gave the most honest, I think it's a bit of a New Zealand there too. He didn't go say that preparation or none of that. He said that we get true wickets in World Cups and tournaments like this that allows me to play my game. As simple as that. There is no sporting wicket, nothing in these tournaments.
Did you see that six he hit in the first 5 overs? Man, he was in such terrific touch. I think it was Shami or was it Hardik? I can't remember which one. But he was just a small swivel, one quick...
The ball he got out too. He was playing for true bounce. It didn't go all the way. It stayed low.
He did a bit of what he's referring to as a masterclass on his pod, where he puts up pictures and puts red arrows along the lines. So basically, he says that it was a dip of the ball that completely did him in. And he says both Rachin and KL Rahul completely misread the line of the ball.
Did you say KL Rahul?
KL Rahul, who was trying to anticipate where the ball was going to go. He was on KL Rahul's gloves to show us where the line of KL Rahul's gloves were how the ball was nowhere in that, like, the same line. You should watch it, actually. It was
KL Rahul putting his gloves somewhere where the ball may or may not come is not necessarily... Apparently, they were so, so close to making the change. Play Rishabh Pant. But then they said... KL Rahul is calmer than Rishabh Pant. I can well imagine Rishabh Pant in the final.
One bit of an unpopular opinion, if you will. That Glenn Phillips catch of Shubman Gill. Did he have to dive like that to catch it? I keep watching it. It seemed to be like a straightforward catch.
No, he was like...
He had to jump
in a half in the air.
Yeah, but like that, like... குட்டிகர்னால அடிச்சு பிடிக்கணுமா அந்த கேட்ச்.
So maybe that wasn't needed. In order to reach the ball, he had to stretch full length and he had to jump.
If he was a foot taller, then no.
Yeah. And he's not a very tall chap, is he?
He's not a tall chap.
Yeah.
But the person who's most upset with Rachin Ravindra is the guy who's lost his place in New Zealand team. Now he's lost his place in the CSK team.
Oh, Conway. They're from the same county team or whatever.
Correct. They're both Wellington. And they apparently bat together a lot.
He and Conway had a very, very good partnership at the World Cup when they played in India.
There was no Will Young. Huh? No.
First game against England.
This Will Young fellow came from somewhere, right?
Yeah. And William also had a very successful series in India. He made a bunch of runs. So I guess they couldn't drop him.
But this is, New Zealand were the most disciplined side. Fielding side, obviously, all those great catches and whatnot. India dropped the most catches in the tournament, apparently, which was, to me, seemed like something like 70%. Some number was floating around, right?
I can't believe we talked about all the ODI teams without talking about the 2011 Indian. I was just thinking, I was just going year by year. I started at 83, 84, 85, and then I'm going through this and I'm like, none of these teams had Sachin in it. And then it occurred to me, oh my God, we never talked about the 2011.
I can only remember Munaf Patel in the 2011 team.
We missed the entire Sachin era.
Will this 2011 team beat this team?
No.
The bowling was very poor. Think about it.
Who was the bowlers? Who were the bowlers there? Zahir?
Zahir Khan, Srisant, Harbhajan.
Ashwin/Harbhajan. He played one game. Ashwin/Harbhajan.
Ashwin is quite new to the side. He didn't play all the games. Harbhajan was first choice. Patel.
Correct. And you had Daina and Yuvraj with Patel.
Yeah, Yuvraj bowled a lot. That's why.
Yuvraj bowled a lot. The pie chucker.
Yeah. He bowled a lot.
A joke, right? Nehra and Jacob Oram.
Oh, Nehra and Oram. So no, the 2011 team, perhaps, they won't beat this team. I don't think they'll beat them even.
They didn't have the bowling. They didn't have the fielding. They had to hide like a bunch of players everywhere.
The only decent fielder in that team was Yuvraj Singh. This team has
Suresh Raina.
Yes,
and he didn't play every game either.
Rohit didn't play in the 2011 World Cup, right?
No,
he was dropped.
He was not. Yeah, was not picked. Yeah. So it's something that hit him very hard, right? That's when he kind of cleaned up his act and started focusing on his cricket because they didn't pick him into the 2011 side. Who did they pick instead of Rohit? That was an MS Dhoni call. He wanted Piyush Chawla. My next path-breaking question for you guys. Is this the last ever Champions Trophy?
I think so.
You think so?
For this year, definitely.
I think so. Remember, there's no Champions Trophy for the T20. It just died. I think this is it. I don't see it happen again.
Hmm.
So there are the Champions League franchises died because they couldn't sort of agree on how many teams from each country and all. And the calendar. This is just a smaller version of a World Cup. Now, what is silly is when you have a 10-team World Cup, what the hell is this 8-team Champions Trophy?
Yeah. It's always commerce, guys. Between World Cups, India's playing and winning. People are coming and filling the stadium. You can't discount that.
And guess where the next Champions Trophy is going to be played? Yeah. India.
Oh, really?
It was even before they won, they decided.
Oh, yeah.
But 2026 is the next big tournament. T20 World Cup in
India and Sri Lanka.
March of the year. So the IPL that's coming up next couple of weeks is the last IPL before the T20 World Cup.
Oh, okay.
And the prospective white ball captain for England decides, I'm not going to play this IPL because I need to focus on the captaincy for England. And the next...
Is that a statement he made?
Not captaincy, but he said he wanted to focus on
national
duty. At best, he'll be an ODI and T20 captain, the white ball captain. And the next big white ball tournament is in India. And it's the T20 World Cup. Our man will not play the last tournament of substance before that.
And this particular tournament, I don't know if you guys noticed, the Indian team were wearing black armbands.
Yes.
For the late Padmakar Shivalkar.
One game.
One game. And just was looking him up. Turns out there's a strong connection with the team. So Shreyas Iyer's mentor, Padmakar Shivalkar, was his mentor at Shivaji Park.
Oh.
Praveen Amre and Shivalkar were instrumental in getting him selected to the Mumbai team back in the day. So it's a sort of a personal touch for him.
Shivalkar and Rajinder Goel, especially Shivalkar, very unfortunate, man, not to play for India.
They never played, right? Shivalkar never
played. They never played.
Neither of them played. It was the Bedi effect, I guess.
Was it? Like, what was his time period?
Late 60s, mid-70s to mid-70s.
Spin Quartet's peak.
And when they didn't have the Spin Quartet, they had Eknath Solkar, so who could bat a bit. So he literally never had a chance.
Okay, so we are done with this Champions Trophy. I know a lot of whining has happened about the whole advantage for India, travel, this, that, and statements made one way or the other. At the end of the day, all excuses or all defenses by well-meaning Indian fans went to naught with the way the ICC chief behaved during the final. Point, even during the final, every time a wicket fell, the only thing left was for him to run onto the field and then go and hug a few people. At that point of time, you're trying to defend the... And then, of course, terrible not having anybody from PCB on the days. If you ask me, there should have been nobody from the BCCA on the days. It should only have been people from the PCB, from the Emirates board, they call it ECB, and Jay Shah, because he's ICC, and that is it.
Blatant, man. It's too blatant.
Honestly, it's disgusting. It's like, and such a long, drawn-out affair and ceremony.
The one that I remember is the one where Sharad Pawar gave out the trophy and Ricky Ponting pushed him out of the stage.
Damien Murray. No, but I've seen the video many times. Sharad Pawar was not moving. He was just standing there.
Moving reminded me of Sharad Pawar and me.
But at the end of the day, that line that came, even when they win, they did not win, sort of stood out.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. The team played wonderful.
One of those scenarios, right? Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Exactly.
And they just did not help themselves finally with all of those.
Team played wonderfully well. In fact, even the biggest detractors of this Indian team also admitted that even if this team had played in Pakistan, they would have won the tournament.
They would have still won. Yeah, I think. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
And in fact, some of them even said they would have won all the games. Just the way they won here. It wouldn't have made any difference to this team. Yeah. And I think we've been through that. Even during the last World Cup, even though the team traveled to so many places, if anybody curated it very carefully, you would have noticed that we just traveled to those places which the venues were where there were no IPL players from that opponent country in that particular team.
It was wonderfully orchestrated.
Yeah. The slower wickets were where we played Australia, England, okay? The faster wickets we played Sri Lanka.
They had actually taken care to match it against IPL foreign players? I never knew that.
It turned out that way, and it's very difficult to believe. It was so perfect. And of course, they tried to rig the final with that stupid pitch, and then it backfired. But I think the argument that if India had batted first, it would have been different in the final. That doesn't hold, because I do think that had India batted first, we would have been bowling second under the lights, and the New Zealand spinners were spilling it twice as much as the Indian spinners. Imagine playing Varun Chakravarti and company with the ball ragging around so much. Those guys wouldn't have been able to do anything. So I think
New Zealand competed well, but man to man, India was definitely a superior side.
I'll leave you with one last question for you to sort of homework. Do you guys know the movie Sarkari Bachcha? The significance with the Indian team? Fair release. I think it's already out there. Shrestha Iyer has a role in it.
Let us stick to the cricket. Anyway, with that, we come to the end of the Champions Trophy and all our chatter about the Champions Trophy. And now for the real thing. The IPL 2025 is coming up. All Out for No Loss will come in with a series of podcasts. We will be previewing the teams, previewing the matches, reviewing the matches, complaining about many of the matches.
Let's bring it on. Thank you, everyone.
Until then, goodbye, everyone.
Thank you.